Amen. That was beautiful. Well, my name is Lauren, and it is great to be with you. Before we jump into our summer in the book of Psalms, let's open in prayer, and we'll get started. Gracious God, we offer up our time to you. Would you refine us, nurture us, grow us, and lead us? All this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we are in our second week of the Psalms, and this book, it's called the Psalter, is comprised of 150 poems, prayers, songs. You might notice that last week we were in Psalm 1, and today we are in Psalm 2. I promise we won't be doing this for 150 Sundays. That is just how it worked out when Arthur and I sat down to look at the content. Psalm 2 was too good to pass up, so we did just go right in a row for the beginning, a strong launch, we'll call it. But Psalm 2 was very different than Psalm 1, and Psalm 1 and 2 are very different than the whole rest of the Psalter. Let me tell you that Psalm 1 and 2 stand on their own, and the rest of the Psalms are broken up into five books. So clearly, there's something we need to pay attention to in breaking up Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. A big theme we'll talk about today is refuge, and that is, you know, self-explanatory in some ways, but it was brought to mind this week when I was at a family dinner. My husband and his family were having dinner together with his parents, and we were reflecting, you know, on Creighton's childhood, and he was in the Cub Scouts. Okay, so as you know, if you're familiar with any of the scouting world, what comes with that is a very beloved vest or maybe a belt, and it has all of the accomplishments, the types of activities and service that go with that. And during the dinner that was at his parents' house, he said, hold on, I think I still have it. So he left the dinner table and emerged back with a widely adorned vest that had all of his patches on it still. And we were talking about our son, Barrett, who's only 5 months old, and I was saying, you know, one thing we're really striving for as parents is to model a life of service. It's something that's important to us. It's a core value of ours. And so, of course, what Creighton heard was run and get the Cub Scout vest, and let's go through the patches. And so we spent the rest of the dinner doing that. And it was so fun because as someone who didn't have a brother, I don't, and who has not really seen that whole world, there was a lot of stories that came from that. There was one particular story, and it reminded me of this theme of refuge that we're going to hear in Psalm 2. Just to be clear, the call to refuge, to find refuge in God, is the heartbeat of Psalm 2. Okay, and so as we were sitting at this dinner table, and he was explaining the, you know, archery and camping and cooking and all of the different patches, we got to one that said meteorology, of which my husband does not do anything professionally with. And so meteorology, just for the Cub Scouts, they were trained on how to spot a storm, and more specifically, how to spot a safe place to go in a storm. And of course, in a preacher's mindset, I'm like, we can work with this. This can go with a lot of different things here. And so as I'm listening to this story, he says, yeah, one year we were on our way to a tournament, and it was my sister, my mom, and I, and we were driving from Dallas to Colorado. On the way, about around Amarillo, clearly something changed in the sky, and the sky turned green, and Creighton, with his meteorology badge recently earned from Cub Scouts, he said, Mom, there's a storm. In fact, I see a funnel. They trained him to recognize funnels. He said, I think a tornado is coming. And so they spent the next few minutes, hours, panicked, worried, trying to find a place to pull off on the road where they could stay. Now, luckily, they had a friend of a friend. They were able to stay in their basement, but Creighton was telling me this story in depth, like, Lauren, all the underpasses were crowded, all of the hotels, there was no room. I mean, we were just looking for a place of refuge, a place to stay, to not get caught up in the storm. And he said, I never thought it would be that hard. But luckily, he had his meteorology badge, and they were able to identify it. And I say all of that because before we enter into Psalm 2, I just want you to have that in your mind, to be thinking about how necessary places of refuge are, either physical places or spiritual, to be to rest in the Lord is something that doesn't get as much PR as it should. It more so comes to us when life throws us a curveball, and the last place we have to go is on our knees, when really that should have been the first place that we went, if you will. Psalm 2, it's a beautiful psalm, and it starts out, to be honest, for us, to our ears, kind of weird. It's a sign of the times. It talks about the nations and the kings, and it talks about this grand idea that is constant throughout the scriptures. Are you going to choose for God, or are you going to choose what it calls the path of destruction in Psalm 1? Or in Psalm 2, are you going to rage against God? Are you going to choose for God in the flourishing and the life that is promised there, or are you going to choose against God? And I don't think a lot of us wake up and think, no, today I'm going to rage against God. I don't think that's how a lot of us wake up. But I do think some of us, we find ourselves in seasons where we forget that going on our knees could have been a first choice instead of a last choice. That it could have been that we turn toward the Lord as our first reaction for refuge instead of trying to achieve or earn or supply our own places of refuge. So I want to start with you in Psalm 2, verse 1, and I want you to hear the whole thing in one fell swoop, and then we'll go into it. Psalm 2, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. This is where Psalm 2 takes a sharp turn. A new voice enters the psalm. We would call that a me. Someone says, I will proclaim the Lord's decree. And this is what follows. He said to me, you are my son. Today I've become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break with them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. And then it pauses. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son or he will be angry and your way will lead to destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment, but blessed are all who take refuge in him. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. This psalm, it's a response of worship, likely to 2 Samuel 7. This famous line, we'll go back to it in a minute. You are my son. I am your father. And that line, we know, right? What is that from? We also hear it echoed when Jesus is being baptized in the New Testament. The Spirit descends on him like a dove, and up from the water, he stands, and we hear this voice that says, this is my son, whom I love, and with whom I am well pleased. And if this is the Son, and we are to kiss the Son, and we are to embrace the Son, then we're to embrace God. And we're to embrace him actually first, not second, not last. When life's curveballs and challenges and circumstances come, and they will, when the waters rise, where do you go? When challenge comes, where do you go? Think about that. And maybe it's even better for me to invite you to say, where have you gone? And maybe after today, together collectively, all of us on our spiritual journey will be moved to reorient our place of refuge, to put it up in the priority line, to say, I've gone in the past there, but today and from now on, I'm going here. There's a grand arc in scripture of grace and of love. And so if where you've gone in the past isn't where you want to go, join the club. That is how God's people have been. That's the story of Israel. That's the story of the new establishment of the church, is that they set a trajectory that's Christ-centered. The fulfillment, kiss the Son, trust in the Lord. These are things we all might have grown up hearing in the church. But we hear it in Psalm 2. And we say, what? At the seat of wisdom comes what? Fulfillment. refuge, joy, celebration. Did you hear that line? Celebrate with trembling, like maybe the best celebration would have. And why celebrate like that? Because you don't have to be the one in control. You know, it wasn't on the list of all the things that come from a life taking refuge in the Lord. What's not on the list is ultimate control. Oh, that's hard for us, but it's a relief for us. You sit with it long enough and it becomes more and more a relief that God is with us, that God has a plan and a design. God has created a world that is good and vibrant and dynamic. God gives us free will to interact in this world, but you know what's not on the list? The same temptation that was had in the book of Genesis, to be God. That's not on the list. That's not your task tomorrow, to be God. No, it's not. Your spouse doesn't need you to be God. Your kids don't need you to be God. Your company, your employer, nobody needs you to be God. What the world needs a lot more of are for people with wisdom serving the Lord and celebrating the King's rule, the anointed one. That's what the world needs more of. This comes back to 2 Samuel 7, and I want you to hear it because it's important. This is more like a call and response. 2 Samuel 7 is a great promise that God makes, this covenant. And Psalm 2 is like a song, a celebration of worship back to that promise. 2 Samuel 7 says this, "The Lord declares to you that he himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom." Who does the establishing? The Lord. Who does the establishing in your life? Have you tricked yourself into saying it is I? I establish my life. I make the blueprint and I implement the blueprint. There's always a limit. If that's the case, you have likely already found there's a limit. We're finite. We're not God. No, what's better? Trade that. Trade that in today and tomorrow and forever now on for one in which is established by God. One that's more of an invitation to participate, to kiss the Son, to embrace him with fear and trembling, because you know he's so good that to be before him on your knees is the best spot in the house. It goes on, he says, verse 13, "He is the one who will build the house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men and floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." This is in a world where thrones never lasted forever. It always ran out. You want to know what kind of covenant this is? This is the covenant that we as Christians then read and we say, what? Obviously, who is the true and final heir of this covenant? Whose throne will be established now and forever? It starts with a J and ends in Jesus. Say it with me. We can do it. Jesus. Jesus. You want a life that has been established by the one who will never fade? The one who can handle every challenge and curveball you've been thrown, the one who is currently addressing those, in whom the perfect peace comes from that can't be counterfeit. It can't be counterfeit. Have you ever thought of that? Peace cannot be counterfeit. It's original, and it's rich, and it's from the only one who can offer it. And so we get this Psalm 2 that while the beginning doesn't sound too familiar, we do still say, well, you have a choice. Will you rage against God or will you kiss the Son? And I have a feeling a lot of us want to kiss the sun. We want to embrace the sun to say, I'm with Jesus. And then Monday comes and it gets busy, and Tuesday comes and there are new things on our calendar, and Wednesday comes and there are appointments, and Thursday there's a diagnosis, and Friday, you see, and when have we had time to embrace the sun? That, I think, is our calling today. As we're in this Psalm 2, I don't know if you caught it, but one of my favorite parts of it was, therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. When Creighton was showing us his Cub Scout vest, and every single badge has to do with some element of service, they're teaching these children at such a young age, right? Exactly how to serve others, how to serve your community, maybe even your church. These are foundational elements of service. But let's start at the right starting spot. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. There's this word in the New Testament, and it's a Greek word, and it's called latreo. We have, I think, a screenshot that I told them I wouldn't stay very long on because it's nerdy, but just look for a second. Do you see what the second definition is? To serve and to worship. Thank you, guys. To serve and to worship. They go that closely together. That when in the New Testament, this is used 21 times, when the early church is starting, they're not just about worship and they're not just about serving, but it's all wrapped up together. You can't really even have one without the other. There's a beautiful part that's demonstrated in this, and it actually comes in Acts 4. Right after Psalm 2 has been hyperlinked, if you will, during a speech from Peter and John, later, there's this moment where we see one of the glowing records of humanity. Acts 4, verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and in mind. No one claimed any of their own possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully in work in them all, that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, and they brought the money from their sales, and they put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. A glowing review to serve and to worship, to gather around and say, actually, my design, my blueprint for my life is down here. And to serve the Lord, which then by product comes serving God's people, is right here at the top. Because when you take refuge in the Lord, you know the Lord. And when you know the Lord, you love the Lord. And when you love the Lord, what do we do with people we love? We serve them. What do I do every single day when I look at a 5-month-old who really can't do anything for me? He can't smile now, which is perfect. And I serve him. Yes, because I love him. And that's the only thing I want to do all day for the people I love is to serve them. Why would it be any different with the Lord? Embrace the Son. Embrace the Anointed One. Kiss the Son. Blessed are those who take refuge in the Lord, verse 12. That's how it ends. And my challenge to you this week, the next time you have to make a decision. Where will you take refuge? Next time you put your meteorologist badge on and you say a storm is coming, we gotta go. We gotta hunker down. Where will you do that? And better yet, with whom? Serve the Lord. Blessed are those who take refuge in the Lord. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, you give us your scriptures and yourself. Why would we not serve you with everything we have? Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience, that we would do just that today, tomorrow, and every day thereafter. You have a kingdom that is everlasting and a throne on which the Anointed One sits. You have established our path. You love us. You call us to respond, and we will respond, and we will take refuge in the Lord. Amen.